Please take refuge. We are fine here. We will greet the morning together. This is Legendary Adventures, a Legend of Zelda podcast, and this is a bonus episode for Season 6. I'm producing some extra episodes before diving into the next game of the series, Oracle of Ages. I want to give myself a little more time to get that game and its scripts finished. This week we're going to be talking about the inspiration behind what may be Majora's Mask's most famous, and arguably most loved, quest. In August 1998, North Korea fired a multi-stage missile over Japan. A New York Times article published around the time of the launch noted Japanese officials called the firing extremely dangerous. According to the article, North Korea offered no explanation about the firing of the missile over Japan. It was a Taepodong-1 missile, a new class for North Korea at the time. There were concerns that with the missile, North Korea would be able to hit any target within Japan, with Japan being a target for North Korea because of the U.S. military bases on Okinawa. Nearly a year later, North Korea was preparing to launch another missile over Japan. In a New York Times article in July of 1999, Calvin Sims wrote, "The long-range missile which North Korea intends to test is a Taepodong-2, which has an estimated range of 3,750 miles, making it capable theoretically of reaching Alaska or Hawaii," the officials said. The new rocket is an advanced version of the Taepodong-1, which North Korea fired over Japan and into the Pacific Ocean in August, raising fears across the region. A third New York Times article published in August of 1999 put actual names and comments to the reported fears in Japan. Office worker Kaneko Omotani is quoted as saying, "I am worried about the North Korean missile because we don't know where it's going to drop. We are not sure whether they are aiming at us or not." Her husband, Tomoji, said, "Even if they have a target, they will fail to hit it because their technology is very bad. The missile could fall on us. I'm very afraid." According to the New York Times, a poll by the Japanese newspaper Yomiuri Shimbun found 60% of Japanese residents feared the launch would result in a direct attack on Japan. It was in this climate that Majora's Mask Wedding Quest was conceived and developed. Speaking to Kotaku in 2015, Eiji Onuma said, "The inspiration for that particular side quest actually came shortly after Ocarina of Time, when I went to the wedding party for one of the members of our staff. At the time, we were thinking about the sort of events we can include in Majora's Mask. I was talking with Mr. Yoshiaki Koizumi, who directed this game with me. And we said to each other, I can't recall seeing a wedding portrayed in a game like this before. It would be really interesting if you had 3 days leading up to the wedding, but there was this horrible cataclysm happening alongside it. That could be really impactful," we thought. The idea for a cataclysm happening alongside a wedding in Majora's Mask was not based on its storyline alone, which features the moon falling towards the land of Termina, but it was based on the real-life tension over the launching of the Taepodong missiles. In a 2015 interview with Nintendo Dream that was translated on Nintendo Everything, Aonuma described the conversation that he had further. "Come to think of it, it's somewhat strange to come to a wedding in a situation when missiles may fall down today." That was Onuma's summary of the conversation. He then went on. The discussion progressed into noting how it could fit into the setting of a falling moon, and whether to do a wedding in the game. "Now that I think of it, no matter where we go, we always talk about work." He laughed about that. As I mentioned previously in this season, Aonuma described this quest as being based on his generation's perception of marriage. The quest takes all 3 in-game days to complete, with some lengthy periods where players may just end up waiting. I know I did. Aonuma said that was intentional. Back to that Kotaku interview. Steven Totillo commented on the complexity of the quest to Aonuma. He noted it wasn't as straightforward as the trading quest in Ocarina of Time. Aonuma said that too was intentional. He said, "When thinking about the sort of events we wanted to include in Majora's Mask, we knew we wanted to age up the themes of the events a little bit, and get into a slightly more adult-feeling drama moment here and there. And so I think it was a natural outcome of that, that you end up with slightly more difficult to understand sequences, and slightly more mature themes coming out along the way. So certainly the item trading in Ocarina was very easy to understand, but this ended up being quite a bit more complicated. The way we thought about it at the time was, because our target is slightly older, we're thinking about adults, this is the sort of thing that adults would clue into and get a little more easily. But in the final product, I think it is a little difficult to understand in some cases. The story told through the quest explores a number of emotions. At its core, it's about a couple and their concerns and their doubts ahead of their wedding. In a twist, Cafe is transformed into a child and is in hiding. Anju and others have understandable concerns that he may be having second thoughts. There is talk in the game that he has perhaps even run off with Anju's friend, Kremia. On which side of the love triangle does Aonuma fall? He said, "I love the cuckoo lady from Ocarina of Time and she is the basis for Anju. But something with Anju is different." Nevertheless, Kremia isn't quite it either. That's how I feel. Through the story in the game, we learn that Cafe is actually in hiding because he had a mask stolen from him, a mask that is important to the wedding ceremony. We help him retrieve the mask, and in the very last hours just before the moon falls, the couple is reunited. Back to the real world for a second. It was a years-long wait for the launch of a Taepodong 2 missile. According to a fact sheet from the Center for Arms Control and Non-Proliferation, the Taepodong 2 wasn't launched until 2006. It failed. Prior to that, there were a few launches of other missile types in 2003 and 2005. Most of them also failed. A second Taepodong 2 launch happened in 2009. Again, it was a failure. The fact sheet notes that North Korea attempted to launch satellites with both the Taepodong 1 and the 2009 Taepodong 2 launch. But history repeats itself. An article on CNN outlines a recent missile launch by North Korea over Japan. Concerns over failed missile tests hitting the major population areas was a concern, and the action is still considered provocative. It's almost like a real-world time loop. In Majora's Mask, we are ultimately able to challenge Majora and defeat it, allowing Termina to experience a fourth day. And on the fourth day, we see Anju and Cafe get married. Here's hoping that real life can take some inspiration from fiction. Maybe like at the end of Majora's Mask, we will see a dawn of a new day, and a much happier world free of man-made threats hanging overhead. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Legendary Adventures. I'm currently working on getting Season 7 on Oracle of Ages ready. If you'd like to follow along, please subscribe. And a big thanks to everybody who has already subscribed. I am Paul Riley, and I will see you next week.